Our scripture lesson this morning is a good one as we're thinking about Thanksgiving and all the things we need to be thankful for. Thank you, Judy. So let me lift this up to you. I think at Philippians 4 may be one of the best chapters in the Bible. And so we've got just a little section here. I'm not really reading 4 through 9. I'm reading 4 through 7 here. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Okay? Rejoice in the Lord always. Always means always. Always, and in all ways. And so, you know, that means if you happen to slide off the road on your way home today and you knock that one of the headlights out of your car, say, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Okay, so I mean, that means always. Yeah, okay, you know. I'm thinking yesterday early evening, Michigan won, and I'm thinking, thank you, God. So you got always there that you're thinking, and so rejoice. Now that let your gentleness be evident to all. I'm going to talk about that a little bit more later, but that's. You know, some passages in the Bible you just kind of skip over all the time, and you think, oh, that's nice. And it's be evident. Be evident. And so, on the one hand, you've got that idea where you're gentleness, but on the other hand of that, you're bragging about it. You're bragging about your approach. You're putting that approach forward. You're trying to be deliberate about that approach. So I want you to think about that. The Lord is near. Lord is near. You know, you don't have a whole lot to fear. I mean, God is right here. God is right here with us. So don't worry, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. That verse always there, it says, you know, don't worry about anything. Reminds me of a Norman Vincent Peale sermon that I read one time. I don't remember anything about the sermon except the title. Why worry when you can pray? So, you know, so that's kind of shorthand for that. Don't worry. Pray. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Okay, so that's a little short formula on how thankfulness can transform your life. And when it transforms your life, it transforms all the relationships that you're a part of. And when you transform all the relationships you're a part of, you can transform your church, you can transform your community, you can transform the place where you work. And when you do that, you're on the way to transforming the world. So think about that as we head into Thanksgiving here and choose to be thankful. You find yourself in a particular situation, and you may not automatically be thankful for that. Choose to be thankful for that situation where you find yourself. Okay, hang on. We got a video here. Pause this. Can you pause that, Keith? I need to give more of a lead-in for this. I can back it up, maybe? Okay. I want to give you a little lead-in. This is a little clip from a movie called Waitress. It's 15 years old, something like that. And this young woman, Jenna, is a waitress in this diner, and she's about to ask her coworker Cal, who's a short order cook, a question. And I guess what I want you to notice is that you can tell from her eyes and her expression that she's been crying. Okay?
Last piece. Sold out even faster than usual today. Good on us.
Thanks. Cal?
Yeah.
Are you happy? I mean, would you call yourself a happy man?
Well, if you're asking me a serious question, I'll tell you. Happy enough. I don't expect much. I don't give much. I don't get much. I generally enjoy whatever comes up. It's my truth, summed up for your feminine judgment. I'm happy enough. Why do you ask?
No reason.
Oh, we get to watch it again. Okay, so that's a pretty honest question, and you can tell from the fact that she asked the question of Cal. You can tell from the expression on her face and the tears in her eyes that she's not happy. She's not. So as we're heading into this Thanksgiving weekend, my question for you today is, are you happy? Are you happy? If you had to answer that question, as Cal had to answer that question, would you say that you're happy? And I would hope that your answer is better than happy enough. Although, it's enough. He's making it. He's making it and is satisfied with where he is, which isn't all that bad. Now, just recently, I heard an interview on the radio with a guy named Bruce Hawker. And he is a filmmaker from Australia, and he and a team of people have been in the United States for a couple of months, have gone coast to coast, and they have been putting together a documentary film about Americans that they're going to show in Australia. And he's kind of wrapped things up, and he's headed back home. And there was this interview with him that I heard as they were saying, well, you know, what have you learned about the United States? And he said, well, what I've learned about the United States is that you're all unhappy. So that kind of hit me. But the measurement for that unhappiness appeared to be we're unhappy about the divisions in our country. And so I heard that, I thought, yeah, I am kind of unhappy about the divisions in our country, kind of unhappy about that, and I don't expect any unpleasant conversations at the dinner table. You know, I don't have some Uncle Joe that's got some different way of looking at life than I do, but I know that there are people that do dread having some of those conversations around the table, and so, you know, maybe that's where you are, but I want to think about this unhappy business. Thanksgiving is only celebrated in the United States of America. Okay? Now, you probably knew that, but that's an important thing. We have a day when all we want to do is eat too much and be thankful. Okay? Black Friday comes the next day. That's terrible. That's terrible. But on Thanksgiving, it's a day when we just want to be thankful. And the question at the bottom is, okay, why? Why? Why have the day? Why get together? Why eat too much? That's a legitimate question. But why be thankful? So that's where I'm headed. You see, we've got this formula that I set up with the passage from Philippians. We've got people that we know, like Jenna the waitress, who are wondering what could be better about her life so that she's happy. We've got a filmmaker who traveled the country and decided we're all unhappy, and we know that there are divisions in the country. How can we turn that around? What difference can we make? And how can we start making that difference on a day when we're all gathered together to be thankful? 58. There was a survey a few years ago about people who are happy with life. And I'm really, really making some generalizations and doing a quick summary here. But the idea was that at age 18, at the point when people were kind of getting started in life, that they were pretty happy. And then things happened in life, and by the time that people were 53, people were a little unhappy, you know, and I don't know, midlife crisis fits into all of that. You come to the point where some of your friends start to die, you've experienced the death of grandparents and maybe parents at that point, but at whatever, you know, they're saying that age 53 appeared to be the time when people were the unhappiest. Anybody here that's 53? They're so unhappy they stayed home from church. But at age 53 then, something kind of changes, and you get happier, and the survey claimed that that by age 58, you're pretty happy again. And depending on your health, you stayed happy. Okay, so I don't know if that's the anticipation of retirement or what that is, but I thought that was interesting, but I just thought I'd throw that out. I don't know that that's worth anything at all. But I saw that, and I thought, well, that's kind of interesting, age 58. Well, I'm kind of past that point. Now, one thing that is interesting about that is that that's roughly the age that Paul was when he wrote that letter to the Philippians. Okay, so there's a little trivia. I don't know what if that means anything at all. He certainly wasn't an American citizen. He wasn't living in our environment, but I'll lift that out. So, what does our scripture say? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. So, how is it that you can be happy in a really dark time? How is it that you can find happiness in a difficult time? Barbara and I went to the funeral of a very faithful woman in the church that we served in LaPel, Indiana, this past Monday, and you know, people were sad, and we certainly celebrated her life and all the things that she had done. She had 6 children. She was a very, very faithful, loving wife, had been active in the church, active in the community, active in lots of different ways, all of those things that we could celebrate. We left LaPel 11 years ago, I think, now. And at that time, she was experiencing the beginning of Alzheimer's. And since that time, she's gotten to the point where, thankfully, she could still remember her husband and knew that he was important to her. But other than that, not so much. So the family was thankful that although they missed her, that she was now free. Her son, who has become a close friend of mine, her son, when I expressed my condolences to him, said to me, well, I know that she was welcomed by Conrad, and he's showing her around. Now, Conrad is their son, who is the age of our younger son, and he died 2 years ago, had, Cornelia de Lange syndrome. I knew I was going to forget that. And I don't know if you have any idea what that is, but it's a syndrome in which he died at age 25, having never spoken a word, not able to really even communicate in much of any way, dearly loved. And so now he's showing his grandmother around in heaven. Now, you're not just grasping for something to be thankful for in that moment. That family was truly thankful for what was going on. And so it's oftentimes a matter of thinking to yourself, well, why should I be thankful in that moment? What is important about this moment? How is it that I can say, thanks God, thank you God, when somebody close to me dies? And the very simplest answer to that might be, I'm thankful that God put that person in my life. It could have been longer, it could have been more in some way, but it was enough. And I'm thankful for that. So rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Blessed, happy. Okay, we got Makarios up there. This is the Greek word that's translated from. And you probably know this from the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And we have that list of times. Well, that can be translated as blessed, or it could be translated as happy. And so in the New International Version, it's blessed are the pure in heart. In the Good News translations, it's happy are the pure in heart. And the English translations are pretty much mixed as to whether you're blessed or you're happy. And if you're blessed, you ought to be happy. And if you're happy, you know you're blessed. So when you take a look at that and you realize, well, I am blessed, well, you're happy. Okay? I mean, it means the same thing. We don't, some words don't translate real well to English, and Makarios has a much fuller meaning than just happy or just blessed. You're blessed and happy. And Declaration of Independence, we've got a right to be happy. We live in the United States of America, and we're endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Now, sometimes I think people feel almost guilty because they're so happy. You know, I mean, there's something about that. Maybe that comes from the Puritan spirit as part of the United States. If you're having fun, it must be a sin. You know, there's just something wrong with this. I'm having so much fun today. It's got to be sinful. And as strict and solemn as John Wesley was, he fought against that. Said, no, we should be happy. And if you were really holy, you'd be happy. If you were really blessed, if you understood how blessed you were, you would be happy. And Thomas Jefferson wrote that down. You've got a right to be happy. It's an unalienable right that God gave you. So what are we missing? Why is it that we are so unhappy? Well, maybe we're not. I don't looking around here, I don't know that I see any people that are really unhappy, but just in case you encounter anybody that's unhappy, we'll give you something to talk about. What does the scripture say? Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Okay, so I don't know, you can play with that word rejoice and say, okay, party, you know. I mean, what comes to mind when you think about that? Joy is part of that, you know. Rejoy and double up on joy. Let your gentleness be evident to all. Want you to keep thinking about that. Remember the Lord is near. Don't be anxious about anything. Why worry when you can pray? Present your requests to God. I have been known to pray for the outcome of football games. And God is thinking, here it comes again. People are dying in California, and you just want another touchdown scored. But this is something that I always tell people. If it's important to you, it's important to God. I know the things that are important to Barb, the things that are important to my sons, those things are important to me because it's important to them. And so if there's something that's important to you, don't be afraid to take that to God. That's what the scriptures say. Take that to God. If it's important to you, it's important to God. Always be thankful in any circumstance. Let your gentleness, your attitude, be evident to all. Okay, so in other words, be deliberate. I'm pretty happy today. I'm going to be even happier if you're happy today. And I'm going to be happier still if all the people I'm around are happy today. So I want my attitude, that's you know, I think that's what gentleness is meaning there. What, you know, what's the attitude of your spirit when you're in a group, when you're in a room, when you're in a place? How does your presence in that room, in that place, in that relationship, how does that change the spirit of everyone? How does your attitude affect others? You know, it does. I do this sometimes in premarital counseling. Is I'll talk to a couple and say, okay, you really need to know that your communication is going to need to change when you get married. And you really need to figure out how it is that you're going to communicate just exactly what you're feeling. And the example I give is, okay, you come home from work, your wife is already there, you walk in, you don't have anything to say. Does that mean you had a bad day? Does that mean you're angry? Does that mean that you got some bad news? What does your silence mean to that person? Now, if you're angry, then they're thinking, I'm just going to give him a few minutes and calm down. But if you're depressed or sad, you don't want a few minutes, you want a hug. And so it's important to understand how your attitude, your presence in the room, affects those people around you. And if they can tell when you walk in the door, you're pretty happy, that lifts the spirit of the whole place. In the same way that you being angry causes a change in what's going on in the whole place. So be deliberate, be intentional. Have the strategy to your approach to every situation, every person, every conversation, and every need. Okay? Your actions and your reactions should come from the same place. Okay, let me make that a little bit clearer if I can. You can decide today that on Thursday I'm going to be happy. On Thursday I'm going to be thankful. And you can start thinking about all the ways in which your actions are going to show that. But if on Thursday something goes wrong, how you react to that is going to be some kind of immediate thing. And if you fly off the handle, you say some word you can't take back. If you do that, then your reaction cancels your action. And so that takes some conscious effort now. Okay, the next time something goes wrong in my life, what's the first thing I'm going to do? Praise God. That's what I'm going to do. Well, thank you, God. Thank you, God. I'm still here. I'm still standing. I'm still able to respond. I'm still able to interact with the people that I love, which really is the most important thing in life, is your relationship with the people that you love, your relationship with God who loves you and you love. So that's what I mean about your actions and your reactions should come from the same place, and you can plan things out, and you can do those things, and those are actions, and those are all proactive, but then your reaction, how is your reaction? You hear some bad news and say, it's going to be all right. God is near. It's going to be all right. We're going to make it through this because we've made it through everything else we've ever faced. And so think about that reaction just as hard as you think about the action that you want to make. All right. I want to talk just a little bit about Philippi, and I've got plenty of time here. The church was in Philippi, and it's believed that Paul was writing this letter about 10 years after he'd started the church in Philippi. But Philippi was a pretty old place by that time. It was established in 359, 360 BC by Philip II. He was the king of Greece, and he conquered the city and renamed it after himself. You know, okay, this is Philippi now. I'm king. And it was a major trading center on the Ignatian Way. I'm going to show you a map in a second and show you the Ignatian Way. But the Ignatian Way was essentially the interstate that went from coast to coast across Greece. And so that Ignatian Way, and so this was a major trading center. And there were gold mines in the region, so you know it was a prosperous area. We're able to do a lot of trading. Everybody wanted gold. And so, you know, that brought a lot of wealth to the area. When Caesar Augustus, okay, so we're not talking now around the time of Jesus. When Caesar Augustus came and took over control of the area, they reestablished it as a colony for the benefit of retired Roman soldiers. This is a little bit different than the veterans' home. Okay, this is a colony where the most brutal people in the empire were gathered together and were living. All right, these are brutal people. These are people who had been everywhere, and if people looked at them wrong, you know, they usually didn't kill them. They beat them till they were almost dead. You know, I mean, you don't want to kill them if you don't have to. You want to make them an example. This is what happens. So that's the kind of place Philippi was. Here's the map. See if I can get this. I don't know if you can see this. This is the heel of the boot of Italy here. It's the Adriatic Sea coming through here. And so they crossed from Brindisi over to Dyrrhachium in Greece. And then this Ignatian Way, can you see that red line? Maybe you can't, but it goes all the way across. It goes all the way across Greece there, over to Asia Minor, which is Turkey now. So it's over here, and Philippi is about halfway across, right there in the middle. So just trying to give you a little bit of idea of what's going on. At the time that Caesar Augustus took over, this theater was already there. That's pretty decent sized theater for this community 2,000 years ago. If you see some sense of the downtown, these pillars were the entrance to the mall. All right, this is the trading center here, the forum. And this was a church that was what's left of a church that was built about 200 years later. So it gives you an idea of what the Philippian church had become a generation or so after Paul. Okay? Judging from the remains, they had a pretty decent looking church there. It would have been quite a nice structure. Okay, so Paul is writing this letter from prison. In Rome, there's some discussion about which time he's in prison in Rome. He may or may not get out if it's the first time. He was in Rome and he got out, was out for a couple of years, and then he was back again and was there waiting to die. So Paul is saying, be thankful in every situation. He's writing from prison. Okay? And he's writing to a community of folks who had spent their adult lives with a community of these Roman soldiers who had spent their adult lives looking down on others and treating them brutally. Okay, so he's writing and saying, be thankful in the situation that you're in and let your gentleness, your attitude, be evident to all. All right, I think it's important to get the context. You know, these people in this church, they weren't the community leaders. They weren't, none of the folks that were running the place were retired Roman soldiers. So they weren't giving these people a lot of respect. You know, they were the Roman soldiers were the ones that crucified Jesus. And so here you are. This is the context. And I just want to lift that up and help you to understand that we're not, You know, Paul's not writing from some resort on the Riviera to a group of people who are millionaires in some ritzy place. No, they're living in a dangerous place, and he's in a place where he's possibly waiting to die. Be thankful in every situation. Let your attitude be evident to everyone. The peace of God will fill your heart and mind. Okay, so rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God will guard you. So this Thanksgiving, consider how being grateful, realizing that God is with us, the Lord is near, can lead us to the understanding of how blessed we are. For the way to happiness is to realize just how blessed we really are. And we are blessed. We are blessed. So here's your takeaway. You're blessed. You might as well just accept it. That's the way it is. You're blessed. So be intentional and deliberate in sharing that blessedness with others, your happiness with others. Thanks be to God. Okay? I leave you with just one little parting thought here. This is Pooh and Piglet holding hands. Piglet noticed that even though he had a very small heart, it could hold a rather large amount of gratitude. How much gratitude can your heart hold this Thanksgiving? I pray that it's overflowing so it flows into the hearts of others. Amen.